You're listening to Trivia Time, the podcast quiz show. Each week, we present a pub quiz-style program with four rounds of varying themes consisting of eight questions each, in addition to a bonus anagram. If you'd like, we have a PDF scoring sheet available on our website, triviatimepodcast.com, which you can use to answer along. Each correct answer will be worth 1 point unless specified otherwise. Similar to a pub quiz experience, we serve up a fun mix of trivia as well as friendly banter. Get together with your trivia team or play solo, at home, or on the go, because it's trivia time. Welcome to episode 322 of Trivia Time, the podcast quiz show. I'm your host, Kelly Sharon, and I'm joined by our quizmaster, Ricky Lime.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. How are you doing?
You know, I've been busy this week. I hosted two live quizzes, and that's about one too many for me.
It's a lot.
I know. And then we had some other little custom stuff on the books. Now we're recording a few episodes. So yeah, this side hustle has been taken over, but good thing I like it.
Right. Lucky us.
For sure. I have a fun lineup for everyone today. Before we get into it, just a few things to mention. We have a visual roundup on our website. The answers for that one will be coming up next week, so make sure and check it out. Big thank you to Aiden MJ19 for leaving us a 5-star review. Thanks so much, Aiden.
Thanks, Aiden.
And quite a few new patrons. Welcome aboard to Ellie, Brittany, Devin, Austin, LS, Alex, Paul, David, Heather, C-Mart, Sydney, as well as Allison. Hey, friends, welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks so much, y'all. Means a lot to us.
Thank you so much. And then just one more thing. I have one quiz left on the books for 2025,
oof,
which I'm really excited about. So just one for the month of December. Come find me at Watch Me Sports on December 16th. I'll be there at 7 p.m. I might even have some festive content. You never know.
Ooh.
You know, I put together poems every month for our patrons that are potato themed and work in some other themes, you know, which isn't an easy task. And I'm not saying they're any good or that anybody wants them or enjoys them, but I was really proud of my Thanksgiving themed tater poem. Do you want me to share it with you?
Obviously.
Okay. It's a little sneak peek of what you're missing, listeners that don't invest $1 a month in our show to hear song clips as well as poems like this. All right. Here goes. Whether it's a pot of spuds for your group of buds or a candied yam for the whole damn fam, it's time to raise a toast. To the folks who were here before us, to all that can't ignore us, to the ones we love the most. Stay grateful, stay kind, but please keep in mind, whether your feast is gourmet or canned, it is Indigenous Heritage Month and we are all on native land.
So good.
I'm taking a bow, Yep. Sometimes the poems are just about like twerking your yams and shaking your russets, but not this month.
Those are great too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's time to get to our bonus anagram of the week. This will be due at the end of our program after we reveal the answers to round 5, so you have plenty of time to work on it. Our bonus anagram this week is Library Woman. LIBRARYWOMAN. And the question that goes with this anagram is, getting his start as Bette Midler's pianist, what musician went on to release the hits Copacabana and Mandy? Moving on to round 1.
Round number 1 is titled TGIF. Even though these episodes come out on Tuesdays, we can all pretend the weekend is upon us with this Friday-themed general knowledge round.
Question number 1. What British rock group released the 1992 uncharacteristically upbeat hit Friday I'm in Love? Question number 2. What is the fictional summer camp that provides a disturbing setting for the 1980 horror film Friday the 13th? Question number 3. What two colors appear on the logo stripes for the restaurant chain TGI Fridays? Question number 4. Released earlier this year, what is the title of the 2025 sequel to the 2003 comedy film Freaky Friday? The sequel's cast included both Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis reprising their roles. Question number 5. Born O'Shea Jackson Sr., what rapper starred in the 1995 comedy film Friday? Question number 6. Considered a solemn day, Good Friday or Holy Friday is observed with Catholics and certain Christian denominations abstaining from what type of food? Question number 7. Included in the quintessential 1990s TGIF lineup on ABC, what sitcom centered on the Winslow family and featured the character Steve Urkel? Question number 8. For a month to have a Friday the 13th, the first day of the month must be what other day of the week?
We'll give you a few seconds of music to wrap things up before we move on to the answers.
Here are the answers for round one, TGIF. Question number 1. The British rock group that released the 1992 hit, Friday I'm in Love, is The Cure.
You know, Kelly, it's not my favorite Cure song, but it's still better than most of the other songs that were coming out in the 90s.
Not my fave, but I like it. It's cute.
Yeah.
Question number 2. The fictional summer camp that provides a setting for Friday the 13th is Camp Crystal Lake.
Creepy. Crystal Lake could be a cool drag name.
Right. Question number 3. The two colors that appear on the TGI Fridays logo are red and white.
Kelly and I are not mad at a TGI Fridays.
I'm not mad at like most chain bad restaurants.
I can find my way around an Applebee's menu. TGI Fridays, let's go.
Totally.
TGI Fridays has a full bar too.
Yes.
It goes down at Fridays.
Question number 4. The title of the 2025 sequel to the 2003 comedy film Freaky Friday is Freakier Friday.
You know,
I did not see it.
It wasn't supposed to be great. My kids enjoyed it.
Oh, really? So cute.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a good soft reentry for Lindsay Lohan, though. You know what I mean?
For sure. Happy to see her back at it.
Let's give her something a little bit more meaty next time, you know?
Right, exactly. Question number 5. The rapper that starred in the 1995 comedy film Friday is Ice Cube. Question number 6. Good Friday or Holy Friday is observed with Catholics and certain Christian denominations abstaining from meat.
Every day is Holy Friday for our friend Kelly Sharon.
That's what I've always said.
Uh-huh.
Question number 7. The TGIF sitcom that centered on the Winslow family was Family Matters.
I was all in. Steve Urkel, my dude.
Yeah, I love TGIF. All of it. So good.
It's the best.
Question number 8. For a month to have a Friday the 13th, the first day of the month must be a Sunday.
Did you know this?
No.
I didn't know that there was like this magical formula to whether or not a month would have a Friday the 13th. It totally makes sense. Didn't ever cross my mind until I put this question together. And I was like, oh, good to know, you know.
Right. I've just never thought about it.
Now we know.
Right. Yeah. Moving on to round 2.
Round number 2 is our audio spinoff. For this round, Kelly and I spin our Wheel of Wonder, which determines 2 audio-related categories, which we present to you all. So, Kelly, you're up first. Give it a whirl.
All right. First up, we have Lame Lyrics Lounge. Oh, this will be fun. Looks like it's a twist on our Lyrics Lounge, where I read lyrics from songs over top a generic jazz track. But in this case, the lyrics will be cringy ones. Can't wait.
Who determines which lyrics are lame? This seems subjective.
I bet it's the Quizmaster.
Spoiler, it's me, and I'm right. I love it. Okay, after that, we'll be doing twinning, which is four questions about songs from different artists that share a title. Let's get into it.
Question number one. He was a boy, she was a girl. Can I make it more obvious? He was a punk, she did ballet. What more can I say? Question number two. My heart is bound to beat right out of my untrimmed chest. I believe in you, like a virgin, you're Madonna, and I'm always gonna wanna blow your mind. Question number three. Step back, you're dancing kinda close. I feel a little poke coming through on you. Now, girl, I know you felt it. Boo, you know I can't help it. Question number four. You want love, we'll make it. Swim in a deep sea of blankets. Take all your big plans and break them. This is bound to be a while. Question number five. This 1985 hit released by English rock band The Outfield was their highest charting single and shares a name with a 2010 Nicki Minaj pop ballad that samples Annie Lennox's cover of No More I Love Yous. Question number six. Confusing for sure, but two artists named Robin released songs with the same name in the 1990s. The first of the two hit the charts in 1992 and was a house remix by artist Robin S. 5 years later, Swedish artist Robin also found success with her song of the same name. Question number seven. We don't think either artists were referring to a weekly trip to church, but both the groups No Doubt and the Velvet Underground, featuring Nico, marked their weekend calendars and found hits with the same song title. Question number eight. Alternative band Hole and pop star Miley Cyrus released pop punk ballads of the same name that are a namesake homage to an upscale coastal region of Los Angeles County that is sometimes associated with rum or Barbie. We'll give you a few seconds of music to wrap things up before we move on to the answers. Here are the answers for round two, our audio spin-off round. Question number one. The song with lyrics including "He was a boy, she was a girl, can I make it more obvious?" is Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne.
I don't get it. What's so obvious about that?
It's heterosexuality. That's the obvious part.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Went over your head.
Okay. So maybe she should be nervous if she's jogging at night around him or something.
Is
that
no.
The obvious part?
No. You're still missing it. It's supposed to be romantic.
Oh.
Not threatening.
Oh, it's obvious that they would have a connection. Okay. Got it. Cool.
Of course. Yeah.
I'm there.
Question number two. The song with lyrics including "My heart is bound to beat right out of my untrimmed chest" is "Hey Soul Sister" by Train.
There's so much wrong with this.
I cannot stand this song. I can't stand this band. Don't even get me started.
The lyrics are the worst.
Literally, don't get me started.
The song title is the worst. The band is the worst. I know. It's so funny. And now I'll only think of that SNL skit.
So good.
If you haven't seen the Hey Soul Sister SNL skit, you gotta pull it up because it's hilarious.
Question number three. The song with lyrics including "Step back, you're dancing kinda close. I feel a little poke coming through on you" is "Too Close" by Next.
I think this song is about boners on the dance floor, Kel.
Gross. Thank you, Next.
Thank you, Next. Exactly.
Oh, look at that. Question number four. The song with lyrics including
You Want Love, We'll Make It, Swim in a Deep Sea of Blankets is Your Body is a Wonderland by John Mayer.
This is the worst as well. Like,
look, I dive into a deep sea of blankets. That sounds cozy.
Right. All of the lyrics in this song, though, are pretty atrocious. This song is so silly.
So cheesy. Ridiculous.
Yeah, this guy is the worst. On par with Train, I think.
Agreed.
Sorry if this was your father-daughter dance song at your wedding. Any taters out there?
Question number 5. This 1985 hit, released by The Outfield, that shares a name with a 2010 Nicki Minaj pop ballad, is Your Love.
You know, I'm not mad at either of those songs, per se. They're both pretty catchy. I am mad at Nicki Minaj lately.
Oh, I'm upset about this.
Sad. I know.
Bummer. Question number 6. The song of the same name that two artists named Robin released in the 1990s is Show Me Love.
You know, this is really confusing, but both are bangers.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I get it. Is there any more Robins that want to release a Show Me Love? Anybody?
I'll listen.
Robin Thicke? No, not you.
Oh, right. Shoot. Question number 7. No Doubt and the Velvet Underground marked their weekend calendars and found hits with the song title Sunday Morning.
Love that Velvet Underground whole album, really. I really like Nico.
Mm-hmm.
Her just sort of dry delivery just works with those jangly guitars. It's a masterpiece. Big fan.
Yeah, it's great. Question number 8. Hole and Miley Cyrus both released pop rock ballads titled Malibu.
I'd say meh to both. Meh, Labu. Just okay. Both songs. I've heard better from both.
You got a lot of personality between Courtney Love and Miley Cyrus.
What a pair.
I wouldn't want to be at that dinner table.
Moving on to round 3.
Round number 3 goes out to friends of the show, Paul and Suze, who are celebrating an anniversary. Congratulations, you guys. This round is for you. It is titled Class Act. Pop on your LBDs because we are heading to Tiffany's for breakfast with this round all about Audrey Hepburn.
Happy anniversary, Paul and Suze. Question number 1. Audrey Hepburn was born in 1929 in what European capital city where you can find the Grand Palace and the Atomium? Question number 2. Audrey achieved EGOT status posthumously in 1994. List 2 of the other 5 female entertainers who have also reached EGOT status for a point. Question number 3. Audrey starred in the 1961 rom-com film Breakfast at Tiffany's, which was based on a novella of the same name by what American author? Question number 4. Who was Audrey's co-star in the 1953 film Roman Holiday? Some of this actor's other notable film credits include To Kill a Mockingbird and Cape Fear. Question number 5. Based on a 1944 Colette novel of the same name, Audrey starred as the titular role in what Broadway musical centering on a Parisian girl that is being groomed for a career as a courtesan? Question number 6. In 1989, Audrey was appointed as Goodwill Ambassador of what charitable agency that provides aid to children in need worldwide? Question number 7. Considered a global fashion icon, Audrey is best known for her collaborations with what French designer, known for his perfumes and the popularization of the little black dress? Question number 8. In 1973, what Pittsburgh-based artist known for his lithographs, celebrity portraits, and prints of household objects created a series of portraits of Audrey Hepburn?
We'll give you a few seconds of music to wrap things up before we move on to the answers.
Here are the answers for round three, class act. Question number one. Audrey Hepburn was born in 1929 in Brussels.
She really is a classy lady. She definitely has that sort of elegant European vibes, you know?
For sure.
She's kind of slumming it in Hollywood. She definitely rose to the top pretty quickly there.
Right. Question number two. You needed to list two of the other five female entertainers who have reached EGOT status, in addition to Audrey, for a point, and they are Whoopi Goldberg, Jennifer Hudson, Helen Hayes, Viola Davis, and Rita Moreno.
Pretty solid list. I actually don't know who Helen Hayes is. Leak. Do you?
No, I guess not.
Yeah, I'm going to look her up, but I'm pretty familiar with the others. Apparently, Helen Hayes is referred to as the First Lady of American Theater. Kelly, this is somebody we should know. She was the second person and first woman to win the EGOT.
Interesting.
She was born in 1900, so she's, you know, it's a while ago.
Ooh, she's been at it. Question number three. Audrey starred in the 1961 rom-com film Breakfast at Tiffany's, which was based on a novella by Truman Capote. Question number four. Audrey's co-star in the 1953 film Roman Holiday was Gregory Peck.
I feel like Roman Holiday and Breakfast at Tiffany's were the quintessential Audrey Hepburn films.
Yep, agreed. Question number five. Based on a 1944 Colette novel, Audrey starred as the titular role in the Broadway musical Gigi.
Not to be confused with the Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck masterpiece Gigli.
Ouch.
Well, no, I'm saying don't confuse them, you know.
Right, no, yeah. Question number six. In 1989, Audrey was appointed as Goodwill Ambassador of UNICEF.
And she's nice. Why couldn't Nicki Minaj make headlines for being a Goodwill Ambassador of UNICEF, you know?
I wish. Question number seven. Audrey is best known for her fashion collaborations with the French designer Givenchy.
It's a good look, you know, it's classic.
Very classic looks, classic silhouettes. Question number eight. In 1973, the Pittsburgh-based artist that created a series of portraits of Audrey Hepburn is Andy Warhol.
Of course. He also created prints of Elizabeth Taylor, you know, similar sort of era. But yeah, he loved his divas.
He sure did.
He was a diva, really.
Totally. Moving on to round four.
This round goes out to Cal, who is celebrating a 30th birthday, which is, you know, really impressive. Just kidding, you're still young. You're still very young. You don't have to, like, make any lifestyle changes or anything. But happy birthday. This one is for you from Becca, as well as from us. It is titled Flight Club. Fasten your seatbelts and put your tray tables up for this round all about airplanes.
Happy birthday, Cal. Question number one. In 1903, the Wright brothers flew the first successful manned-powered airplane near Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. List each of their first names for a half point each. Question number two. Named after the pilot's mother, what was the name of the bomber plane that dropped the first atomic bomb on Hiroshima, Japan on August 6, 1945? Question number three. What is the eight-letter term for the main body of an aircraft? Question number four. Transforming his doghouse into a fighter plane with his imagination, list either the name of Snoopy's pilot alter ego or his rival and greatest foe for a point. Question number five. Black boxes are typically what color? That is not black. Question number six. Covering a distance of 9,500 miles and lasting 19 hours, the longest nonstop commercial flight operates from New York to what Southeast Asian island country, where you can visit Gardens by the Bay and Sentosa Island. Question number seven. The 1990 disaster comedy film Airplane starred what actor that is also known for his performance in the Naked Gun films? Question number 8. Founded in 1927 and headquartered in Kansas, what aviation brand is best known for producing small, high-wing piston aircrafts? Some models include the 162 Skycatcher and the 177 Cardinal and the 175 Skylark.
We'll give you a few seconds of music to wrap things up before we move on to the answers.
Here are the answers for round 4, Flight Club. Question number 1. You needed to list each of the Wright brothers' first name for a half point each, and they are Orville and Wilbur.
This whole round is just giving me anxiety.
Not a big flyer.
I'm fine.
But you don't enjoy it.
Don't love it, no. So a fun fact about Orville and Wilbur. Those are the names of the bird pilot characters from that video game Animal Crossing, which is a cute little reference to the Wright brothers.
And they're kind of cute little names.
Really cute. I love it.
It fits the Animal Crossing vibe. Mm-hmm. Question number 2. The name of the bomber plane that dropped the first atomic bomb on Hiroshima was Enola Gay.
Leave us out of this. You know what I mean?
Right.
With that name, the only bombs it should have been dropping are glitter bombs. Am I right?
I wish.
Yeah, me too. Womp womp.
Question number 3. The 8-letter term for the main body of an aircraft is a fuselage. Question number 4. You needed to list either the name of Snoopy's pilot alter ego or his rival and greatest foe for a point, and they are Red Baron or Flying Ace.
Things get weird when Snoopy starts tripping out and taking on this trippy alter ego. I kind of love it, though.
Right.
The, like, watercolor backgrounds. And
it's a weird aside.
It's good.
Question number 5. Black boxes are typically orange.
Tricky. Mm-hmm. Why?
Easy to find.
Yeah, I think so.
Question number 6. The longest nonstop commercial flight operates from New York to Singapore.
This is over 19 hours. You know, I'm actually surprised that this flight is longer than the one to Australia.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not interested in either.
Yeah, I need a stretch. You know, that's a lot.
It's the worst.
Question number 7. The 1990 disaster comedy film Airplane starred Leslie Nielsen.
Looked real bad. People love it.
I've not seen it, actually.
It's like dad comedy.
Yeah, totally. Question number 8. The Kansas-based aviation brand best known for producing small, high-wing piston aircrafts is Cessna.
So I'm going to add this to the list of reasons why you shouldn't be in Kansas and should still be in California.
Reasonable.
Because these are death traps.
They look too little.
Yeah, they just get tossed around all the time. Whenever you read about, like, famous people that die in plane crashes, it's always, the Cessna, you know?
It is, right. I'm not boarding one. Don't worry.
So currently, you left me for tornadoes, Magafolk, as well as Cessna. So that's cool.
Womp womp.
You know, we all have to make choices.
Moving on to round 5.
So as always, round number 5 is our connection round. It is a series of 7 seemingly unrelated questions and answers that are somehow connected. So the answer to number 8 will be the connection. And in this case, this week's connection round actually features questions that are all movie related, but the connection is not movie related. So shaking it up a little, taters.
Question number 1. Included on the Furious 7 soundtrack, what 2015 hit released by Charlie Puth and Wiz Khalifa was commissioned as a tribute to Paul Walker, an actor who appeared on the franchise before his untimely death in 2013. Question number 2. Created by filmmaker and actor Kevin Smith, what stoner duo are the only characters to appear in all of his films that are a part of the collection known as the Askewniverse? Question number 3. Portrayed by Reese Witherspoon, what is the main character's name in the Legally Blonde franchise? Question number 4. What is the theme song and lead single from the 1982 sports drama film Rocky III? Question number 5. Based on a 1970 Judy Blume novel of the same name, centering on a young girl struggling with being part of an interfaith marriage, what 2023 coming-of-age drama starred Rachel McAdams and Kathy Bates? Question number 6. What 1998 biopic based on the true story of Frankie Lyman, the lead singer of the doo-wop group The Teenagers, shares a title with their biggest hit? This 1956 song includes the lyrics, "Why do birds sing so gay and lovers await the break of day?" Question number 7. What disco pop group won 5 Grammys for the 1977 film soundtrack for Saturday Night Fever?
It's connection time. And question number 8 is the connection between the answers for questions 1 through 7. We're going to give you a few seconds of music to wrap things up before we move on to the answers. And just as a reminder, the bonus anagram will be due at the end of this round.
Here are the answers for round 5, our connection round. Question number 1. The 2015 hit released by Charlie Puth and Wiz Khalifa that was a tribute to Paul Walker is See You Again.
It's kind of a cheesy one, but, you know, people liked it.
Yeah.
It was wild that Paul Walker, the star of Fast and Furious, died in a car crash. It was, like, a little too poetic.
Sad.
I mean, it was super sad, but it was also just like, oh, wow. Well, that's fitting. Weird.
Of all the things. Right. Question number 2. The stoner duo that are the only characters to appear in all of the Kevin Smith Askewniverse films are Jay and Silent Bob.
Those guys are ding-dongs. It's totally like a Beavis and Butthead thing when they pop up and you're like, oh.
Just popping up everywhere, right?
Yeah, they're a lovable duo for sure.
Question number 3. The main character's name in the Legally Blonde franchise is Elle Woods.
I'm able to recall hundreds of important details at the drop of a hat. Hey, Elle, do you know what happened on Days of Our Lives yesterday? Why, yes, Margot, I do. Once again, we join Hope in the search for her identity. As you know, she's been brainwashed by the evil Stefano.
Question number 4. The theme song and lead single from Rocky III is Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, you have to do air punches when you hear this song. You know, you just have to do it. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. It pumps you up.
Mm-hmm.
Question number 5. Based on a Judy Blume novel, the 2023 coming-of-age drama starring Rachel McAdams and Kathy Bates is Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
I did not know that this was made into a movie. This completely flew by. Did you know?
I remember it, but this was Judy Blume was never really my thing, so I was uncompelled.
I read some of her stuff back in the 80s, but yeah. It's a classic, though.
Right, right. Question number 6.
Whoa, Kelly. What was that? Oh no, the Enola Gay's circling again, dropping some glitter bath bombs.
Yes, queen.
I'm not mad at that.
Oh, she gay.
Unfortunately, that seems like an alternative history.
So much better.
Right. I think instead of that revisionist history, it's actually a triple tater.
Womp womp. I think you're right. So if you correctly answer this question, you'll receive 3 points instead of one.
The 1998 biopic based on the true story of Frankie Lyman is Why Do Fools Fall in Love?
It's a great oldie.
Yeah.
I like that old doo-wop sort of Motown stuff. It's smooth.
It's good. Yeah. Question number 7. The disco pop group that won 5 Grammys for the Saturday Night Fever is the Bee Gees.
These guys crack me up. I know that they have a good catalog.
Kind of goofy.
Oh my gosh, so goofy. The fact that they were like packaged as heartthrobs is hilarious.
Wild.
Those like weird sort of like Shakespearean comb over bowl cuts with those falsetto voices, and then there's those tight pants with those big wads. I'm like, what are we doing here? This is bizarre. It's so funny.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Question number 8. The answer to question number 8 is the connection between the answers for questions 1 through 7. And we had answers like...
C, you again.
J, and Silent Bob.
L, Woods.
I, of the Tiger.
R, you there, God. It's me, Margaret.
Y, do fools fall in love?
And B, geez.
And all of those answers start with a word or name that when pronounced is a letter in the alphabet.
Mm-hmm. Kind of tricky. You know, Bee Gees was a double whammy because you got a B and a G. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Might have been tricky to look at on paper, but pretty obvious when you start saying them.
Right.
Returning to our bonus anagram of the week. Our bonus anagram this week was Library Woman.
Get it.
Nice. The question that went with this anagram was, getting his start as Bette Midler's pianist, what musician went on to release the hits Copacabana and Mandy? And the answer is Barry Manilow. Library Woman scrambles up to be Barry Manilow.
Library Woman, friend of the show, Barry Manilow. He can stay.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, right.
It's totally fine. Yeah. Another one that was packaged like a heartthrob that I'm side-eyeing like,
Right, right.
I'm like, he's real dorky and real gay.
Different time, different time.
Yeah, talented artist though, for sure. Well, that does it for us this week. This was a fun one, Kelly.
Sure was. Thanks for doing it with me.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it again next week. What do you think?
All right, I'm back.
Me too. Until next Tuesday, have a good one, Taters.
Later, Taters.
Thanks for listening to Trivia Time, the podcast quiz show. We hope you enjoyed playing along. If you did, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes to help boost our show ratings and get the word out. We might even give you a shout out on a future episode. Tune in every week for new episodes. We'd love to hear from you if you have any feedback. Our email is triviatimepodcast@gmail.com and our website is triviatimepodcast.com. On our website, you can find a printable PDF scoring sheet, which you can use to play along with every episode. We also have links to past episodes, monthly bonus visual rounds, exciting announcements, and more.
This week's background and answer break music was Running Night by Alex Make Music.
This has been a Pick and Shovel production recorded in Long Beach, California and Lawrence, Kansas. Special thanks to our friends, families, and all of our trivia buddies. This episode has been hosted and written by Kelly Sharon and Ricky Lime, edited by Ricky Lime, and features an intro song by Ricky Lime.
Until next time, later taters.